Everybody find the key with me. Me, me. I trust in God wherever I may be. Upon the land, New York City, or on the rolling sea, where we're going to get them.
For kind of day,
from day to day, stupefied by things in the media often, the terror and the tragedy of what happened. In my case, is equally matched by the amazing unanimity worldwide, as you see the thousands and thousands gathering in churches and prayer conferences in countries that have not been known recently for embracing America. God, I've waited to hear someone in some memorial service quote Romans 8:28. God enters into all things to work his good to them that are called according to his purposes. Even these malignant idiots do not even practice the teaching of Muhammad. They're a perversion, a pimple and a wart on the face of Islam. This nation under God and the nations of the Western Hemisphere, plus reluctantly but coming along, many in the Middle East and other places, but as it is and has been the Western nations of the world that have led the way, they unite again in a recognition that what we have seen is a threat, a declaration of war against civilization, humanity in general, and a desire of those with animal-like character to wipe the rest of us out. Well, we trust in God. Give me that noise.
I trust in God
wherever I may be, up on the land or on the rolling sea.
For come what may,
from day to day, our Heavenly Father watches over all of us.
I'm going to go.
lot of you who have put in 7-month commitments to do it again. We are stepping forward, liberating this ministry from the complacent and the casual and even those who drag it down, and are moving ahead in victory. It's almost like the days when I came here 26 years ago when I had to start over and move people out of the way that didn't have vision and faith and commitments. And get new people. That's what I'm doing now. I have many years and a wonderful helpmate, and we're training new people. I need 7-month commitments. And I want you to step forward, not just looking for a job, to make an all-out commitment. In 7 months, we'll be able to know whether your commitment's genuine or temporary. But we are building a complete new foundation, and I want to remind you today, folks, we reach into the Middle East 24 hours a day. Oh, you better believe Afghanistan listens to shortwave. They don't have that many TVs and ordinary radios in their caves where the rats are hiding. They heard us sing, "I Trust in God," if they were scanning the shortwave radio these moments. They're going to hear us throughout the days ahead. God has positioned this ministry 24 hours a day with a purpose, and you're part of it. As Paul said to Timothy, "Quit you like men, perform and step up like men." I'm singing the song, "I Trust in God," because I want us to understand God does enter into all things to work His good, and this is a time to carry forward in faith and let our mourning turn to the joy of victory. So make your commitments, folks, and make your commitments for the cathedral next Sunday today. The song is "Victory in Jesus."
Streets of gold beyond the twisted sea. And I heard
send this thing still marching in.
Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in.
Message, if we never meet again.
Soon we'll come to the end of life's journey.
God.
All day Friday and all day Saturday, as I stack books around my desk and prepared for today's message, I struggled with an inner sense of direction. I was determined to continue in Romans. And it wasn't until this morning I said, okay, God, I'll preach your message today. Now that ludicrously overstates. I don't hear God talk out of the wall, and I don't go to drugstores and ask God to guide me by speaking out of bottles or what I should buy. But there is an inner witness, and deep calls unto deep. And we sometimes, like the Apostle Paul, who was determined to go to Asia, and the Spirit of God turned him around. We can be traveling with God and persistence and tenacity and determination is part of faithing. But you got to listen. That's why that word to believe is the hearing of faith. You got to listen to the inner promptings and the gentle nudges of God. And I wrestled with it and came to the conclusion this morning, we need to pause in the Roman series and turn from the instruction of that Christian life in the gospel to a nitro pill that's needed in the crises. And I came to peace this morning that we should postpone Romans. That's why I didn't send out a handout. And take you to a passage that has shored my faith through every crisis of my adult journey of faith these 72 years. As I said earlier, it's impossible to even think that someone in our congregation, nationwide and worldwide, did not have loved ones, friends, associates, buried in that rubble or one of those crashes. And even if it's not a personal relative, the horror of this malicious act, the arrogance of it, the evil of it, has waked up all America, and it would be derelict of me today to not give a message of faith to all who listen around the globe of what to do in a time like this. And I'm sure many of you have already anticipated the nitro pill. I take you to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Blessed '84:5. You got your Bibles open? I don't need to hand anything out. You probably have notes all over that page of your Bible. Blessed. Asher and its derivatives is the verb. In this case, the verb stem changes to a noun that describes a state of being. There's another word for blessed in the Old Testament. Baruch. They're different in their root meaning. Asher is that unique kind of blessing, and the word properly translated is to call blessed, because God Himself in His Word is describing a state of being. A state of being. All of us know, like a string of beads, and look and long for those times and experience, that we're lifted up in euphoria, caught up, given a blessing by people, experiences, God, friends, loved ones, even a beautiful sunset. The things of this life we're to be thankful for. That's not what this word means. This word, properly translated, is called blessed because it is describing a state of being that never changes. You can call someone blessed in this form of the Hebrew word. And by the way, I would point out to this congregation that we have taught a lot. One of the names of God, as you well know, is the basis of our word eulogy, where you say good things. And God is a God who blesses us with His Word, and I hope it happens today. And they use the word from which we get eulogy to translate this second word I wrote on the board, Baruch or Barak. But Asher, even the Greek Septuagint, uses a different word. And the word translates with the same distinction in the Greek, a state of being. This is someone to marvel at, someone to look at, someone that can endure what individuals and we as a nation are facing this week to still be called blessed, that have a state of being that survives, is not dependent upon circumstance. It is a quality that can stay, endure, be essentially unchanged, regardless of what's happening. This is not a sometime affair. This is something that some of us might not be able to be so described. And I'm sure some of you have done what I've done, looked at your own personal problems that have weighted you down in past weeks and months. And if you have perspective at all, seen it dim alongside the tragedy that hit those in New York and Washington and on that plane in Pennsylvania. And we're all guilty of our emotions not able to be consistently called Asher, blessed. But that's the blessing. And forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven, and that's the blessing behind which the faithfulness of God stands, and it is a guarantee there is such a state that we can be in and be so called. That blessing is not generally thrown out like oxygen in the air. You should have underlined in your Bible the word, the definite article, the man. Blessed is the man. Definite articles, they're called in syntax determiners. They determine and set apart and separate the noun, in this case, the man, Adam is the root. These descendants of Adam, general, have someone separated out by this determiner, the definite article. Someone not generically in this state by virtue of the fact that he's a member of mankind's generic race. This is a particular person. And I'm sure that was suggested when I stated it's a state of blessing, a state of being, unchanged by circumstances, unwavering with time or whatever hits you. It's a state of being. Not everybody has it. But this verse has God proclaiming, blessed the man. The man who? Who passing? On a journey. We all like to have a state of blessing, the dream of retirement, the dream of ease, the dream of a problem-free bubble, the dream of all problems behind us, no new disturbance, comfort zone that is our reward for many years of travail and work and trouble and pain. This man, particular, this descendant of Adam, not me, but what I wrote on the board, unlike others, is in a state of unchanging blessing. He's on a journey. He's passing that participle. He's not standing still. Today's peace is tomorrow's war. Today's comfort is tomorrow's surprise attack. Today's ease is tomorrow or maybe the next hour's wreck. Today's certainty that I'm okay is tomorrow's wrenching upset. Today's okay is tomorrow's surprise not okay. You want the state of blessing? It's only promised, stated in God's book, to those that are on the move. Your life cannot be static. I have watched Christianity reduce itself ridiculously down to destination points like badges and plaques to be hung on the wall. Well, I said my little bit, and I'm justified. And I had a second definite work of grace, or I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that filled me with God's Spirit. And I've got my little list of Christian attributes and crossroads. They're destination points. When you get there, you settle, I want to do this as a preacher. I mean, I've had enough problems. I'd like to have God give me a few years to tell you how to get through them all, because I got through them all. I'd like to stand up here and say, look at me. There is a place. If you just hang on long enough, you'll get to a place with no more problems. And you can sit down. Sit by the riverside. Except it's over there. As the old hymn says. There is this quality that's been distorted by destination point Christianity. Even the Greek word soterion, which is translated salvation, means being and becoming all that God intended you to be. And that ain't going to happen until the God of peace sanctifies us wholly over there. And in between, it's a journey. I can at least say this from the book of Romans, from faith to faith. And faith responds to test. And this man who has this state of being blessed is on a journey. He has to expect the unknown until it happens, and the unexpected until it becomes his reality. And he has to walk in the certainty that as thy day, so shall thy strength be. But only God knows what each day will bring. And Christianity is a walk. It's a journey. This is a ever-increasing faith walk, thus an ever-increasing test walk. Surprises are a part of the life of this man who's passing. He's on a journey. And the journey takes you, on occasions, through valleys. Valleys. I looked at some aerial shots of that cavity in the heart of New York City that formerly was a gleaming tower. I've been in windows on the world many times, daytime and nighttime, sat and looked out. I can see it as clear as I see you, sitting on those inclines, the restaurants on one side, the other side, you can sit and look out, right down on the Statue of Liberty. Now, a cavity. A cavity in the heart of our most powerful city. Valley. Who passing, blessed is the man who passing through the valley of Baca. What's Baca? You know it better than I do. Weeping. Valley of weeping. Baca means weeping. While still in the state of being blessed, this man, I know you've heard this message many times. I changed the name of these messages after I had a heart attack. I carry this little bottle. Staff members of mine carry a bottle. My wife carries a bottle. It's nitro pills. In case this heart condition that produced a stent, in case my faith wavers and the healing that God added in that case to the surgery. If I have, I don't need this, kind of an irritant. There's little bottles in my pocket. I'm always having to, when I pull things out of the pocket, I'm always dropping it. And then have to replace it once in a while because it gets old. And that's what happens. So I call these messages nitro pills. When you need them, you can take all the money out of my pocket. You can take everything else out of my pocket. Get this. Because when I need it, I need it. If I don't need it, I sometimes forget I'm carrying it. That's what I want you to understand about this message today. Those who need it can't hear it often enough. Blessed state the man on a journey. His journey takes him to a valley of weeping. The reason the Jews made a mistake with the man on the cross and the suffering serpent, or the man that was suffering and bearing sickness in the 53rd of Isaiah, their theology said you suffer because you sin. It's carried over into Christianity to where people will say what those Jews did when they came to Jesus in the New Testament and said, here's a man born blind. Who sinned, him or his parents? Jesus dismissed it cavalierly. Neither, he said. Neither. But that the glory of God might be displayed in this moment, to paraphrase the situation. Christianity has abused Christians. As though when something wrong goes wrong, or wronger, it's because you sinned. Oh, there will be those that will preach, because of America's sin, the judgment of God's on. Well, go to hell, you voices of the devil. Now, a wonderful message will not be played on Christian networks. But we have our own network, 24 hours a day. I even heard Billy Graham, the memorial service, agonize. Why does God allow things like this? He turned loose the capacity for sin by allowing freedom. He turned it loose. There cannot be love and there cannot be trust without freedom. So God, to get love and trust as part of His image, gave to us that measure of freedom that makes us different from animals. We're self-determining in some of our choices. Adam and Eve misused their freedom and listened to the father of liars, who himself a created crowning cherub, song leader of praise in heaven, turned from his former state and abused his freedom. And Adam and Eve by default turned over this world to the prince of the power of the air. And only those that are being redeemed by the power of the gospel can be loosed from the grasp of it. And the prince of the power of the air still has the ability to abuse these margins of freedom that we have as vessels of creation, outside of the gospel, under the control of Satan, to be Satan's henchmen, disguised as an angel of light in their perverse belief, to wreak havoc. But God enters into all things to work His good. And the blessed man accepts the fact. The blessed man or woman whose blessing remains unchanged must recognize that valleys of weeping are part of the blessed life. Not the life being blessed, but are part of the blessed one's journey. These valleys come. I don't hope in a few sentences to explain the sovereignty of God, but in the mystery of God's purposes, He gave a measure of freedom. And freedom produces the root of all sin. Like sheep gone astray, turned to our own way. Been going on for years. Why did God allow Christians to be thrown to lions and burned as lights for gardens? Well, if church towers and not symbols of ancient Rome that tower over that city, why did God let Tyndale be burned to a stake? Centuries can roll on, but the writings of Chairman Mao, Adolf Hitler, and Karl Marx combined will never catch the sails of God's holy word, the Bible. Ever. God enters in to all things to work his good. And the blessed man recognizes valleys of weeping are part of the journey. And don't let the devil, those emissaries of Satan hoping to over-dramatize, say your valley is because you sinned. Well, America may be sinning, but God didn't send those people to that tower to punish us for our sins. The devil sent them there because they're evil. Now, valleys of weeping are part of the trip. But this person, in this verse, of which we can be what they are, or he is, or she is, remains blessed. They not only pass through a valley of weeping, the literal Hebrew has it, they turn it into a place of springs. They literally turn the tragedy, the valley of weeping, into a place to bless others. I can tell you that those that are doing that in the streets of New York City and in Washington, D.C., the ones that are doing that could never do that if their view of the value of life was as putrid as scientism and evolution and naturalism says it is. Greater love hath no man than this, we've heard this often this week, than that a man lay down his life for a friend. Just a higher degree of animals, as evolution says, don't do that. Survival of the fittest makes you run, and thank God you got out and leave them there. Thank God for the remnant of religious values and the value of created man and the life that God has given that has produced the kind of turning the valley to springs that we're seeing. But this individually can be your lifestyle. I haven't achieved it yet. I've preached this message so many times around the world. I return to it every time I'm in a new valley. And I still find that my natural instinct is just start screaming and flailing around and praying for God to get me out of it, pouting and depressed and all other kinds of emotion. How's this happening to me? I've had my share. are not yet naturally inclined to what Paul said. Thank God for tribulation. Tribulum is the word that beats wheat from chaff. For tribulum produces patience, the King James has it. Endurance is the Greek word. The beating produces endurance. I'm going through. And endurance produces prideness. You look back and say, when it started, the first valley, I thought it would kill me. And I eventually can look back and say, I endured this one and this one and this one and this one and the first one. It really peanuts compared to what I'm enduring now, but I've endured. Well, I've endured. And then you come to, remember I preached a sermon once. You want to be a hoopy Christian or a wacky Christian? You want to hoop and holler all the time or be whacked? Now, I don't really want to be whacked all the time. But a wacky Christian, or another word I use is a jerky Christian. How many of you have ever chewed on jerky? Versus a nice, fresh, Kansas City steak. How many know the difference? Your teeth do. The teeth know the difference. Tribulum, endurance, triedness. Man, the devil's going to find me increasingly unpleasant to chew on. I'm like a jerky Christian. I'm no fresh piece of newborn meat. I'm tough. Jerky. And you know what? Now I look back there, and I'm going to live a long time, but there ain't no way I'm going to live, I don't think, 144. Remind me of that movie on Golden Pond where, oh, I can't think of her name. No, Jane Fonda's the daughter. Her dad, Henry Fonda, and the woman that played the Katharine Hepburn in her squeaky voice is saying, while he's whining about old age and not being, and she says, you're not old, in her squeaky voice, you're middle-aged. And he says, that's nonsense. Nobody lives to be 140. Seventy's not middle age, according to Henry Fonda. I think he's right. I'll take 142. And you as a congregation can just carry me around. But I don't think, hold on, I don't think I've got as many years yet to come as has already passed by. And I do know the eternal God is my refuge. In the Greek, he's the God of the forefront. He's on the corner before I get there. But right now, I realize that tribulum has produced endurance, and endurance has produced triedness, and this old piece of jerky, knowing that I made it that far, and the distance to my entrance into heaven is bound to be shorter than what I had. It may be tougher, but shorter. And I'm tougher too. So jerky state gives me hope. That's what Paul said. Tribulum produces endurance. Endurance produces triedness. Triedness produces hope. I've made it this far. I'll make it the rest of the way. Glory to God. I'm going to make it all the way home. And the proof of it is, I made it this far. Therefore, I should get to the state eventually. I'm not there yet. That my first reaction in a valley is to look for a place to start digging, to turn it into a place of springs. Now, I know that some translations treat it as though it's all God's doing. But the next passage says the rain also covereth the pools, which means God enters in, but it's covering water that's already been dug up because it covers the pools, not the dry land. Some people get in the valley and they sit and wait, well, God promised that the rain will cover the pools and I'm going to wait until He blesses me out of this valley. No! The blessed man has the strength to turn it into a place of springs. And then God sends a rain that covers the pools, not dry land. That's a heroic way to react to valleys that are inevitable and valleys that are having no changing effect on the blessed state of the journeyman. How do you do this? Opening phrase. Blessed is the man who, passing on the journey through valleys of weeping, and I skipped over that word through. That means whether the valley is long or short, the guarantee is you're going to go through the valley. And while you go through it, you can turn it into a place of springs, because blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Ooze. I love to play on the cognate words. Whose strength. You know, the word oozy is a synonym for power. I don't want to walk out of here and be met with a guy with an oozy. But the word is strength of an inward quality. A strength that cannot change. A strength that is beyond what we in isolation are able to mount up and grab hold of just from within ourselves. This strength, and you know, strength is a bad translation. If I had the time to take out this wonderful little book that I read from so often to you of the origins of English words, string. And through various languages, the roots for strength is straight and taut. The way you pull a string tight. This translates a Hebrew word that has to do with ableness, has to do with a quality that you yourself, by straightening yourself and saying, I'm going to face it, cannot accomplish. It's a strength dependent on something else. Blessed, called blessed, unchanging state, no matter what the circumstance you're facing, is the man whose enablement, whose capacity, whose source of that which will carry him beyond himself and maintain. Blessed is a man whose strength is in God. In God. Jehoshaphat prayed, we have no might against this great force. And lifted his voice and said, art thou not God? And did you not say? And isn't this the circumstance where it fits? Blessed is the man on his journey, passing through valleys of weeping, whose source of enablement, source of endurance, source of empowerment is in God. What does Christianity mean if it doesn't mean this? The same power that raised up, the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall so dwell in your mortal body. What did Jesus mean when he said, it's better that I go away, for if I go not away, another comforter will not come. He prayed, Father, while I was with them, I kept them. They're no longer. I'm no longer with them. Father, you keep them. Make them one as you and I are one. I in them, they in me. That's what the gospel's about. That's what I've been preaching in Romans. A new covenant relationship has been laid before the world by the cross. The valley he went through to remove all barriers to God doing this. The veil went from top to bottom. That he, what the gospel, the good spiel, God's good word, is he comes to dwell. And I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Whether in the valley, out of the valley, mountaintop or valley, devastating surprise and agony. Unspeakable happenings. God is there and God will enter into all things to work as good. And the blessed man whose state never changes. I hope someday that this will be my first and natural reaction to valleys. And I hope someday I won't have to preach myself into that state as I seek to preach you into that state. But God's word forever settled in heaven said, blessed is the man. Call him blessed. He is blessed. Nothing will change. The blessedness is the man whose strength is in thee. How do I get it? Well, from faith to faith. We got a test now. It's faith opportunity. God's word forever settled in heaven. Him that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth proclamation is made. The blessed man stares the calamity in the face and says, this is my promise. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. The power that raised up Christ from that agony, from the dead, is my portion if I keep my trust intact. Blessed is the man whose source of strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways, and you have of them in the King James written in italics, right? Written in italics, added by the translators, dead wrong. The ways refer back to God. His ways are not our ways. Our ways would be an air-conditioned, comfort plush train to take us on to heaven because we have conceded to accept Jesus. His ways are to bring us into heaven, making up the family of the firstborn, who understand what Hebrews says out of the 11th chapter with those who suffered unspeakable indignities and horrors for their faith. Wherefore, seeing we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, martyrs, but literally, whereas those that we just read about in the 11th chapter, such a great cloud, have preceded us on the journey. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset, and run with endurance, as I said earlier, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of, and again the King James puts our in there, it's not there. He didn't finish our faith. He was the first goer, the author and finisher of faith. He set the pattern. He authored it, first goer, and he finished. It is finished, he cried on the cross. None of us have been in that spot yet. You've not yet resisted unto blood, looking unto him. The ways of the Lord are to deliver us into eternity, that he might put us on display and make angels our footstool. These that passed through their valleys turned it into places of springs, because their strength was in him and in their heart. It's tough. I want to tell you, it's tough. It's tougher for me. I thought it'd be easier, but it's tougher. I guess the test maybe is harder. It's tougher for me. It's harder for me to get up and charge the devil every day. Not in spirit. It just, the years add weight. I told you some years ago, I determined I would train like the Olympics to make my last years fruitful for him. I gotta admit, it's harder to get on a bike at 72 than when I was 20. It's harder to get up and say, God, I know the blows will come. And keep me ready. But I know that's the path, and the cross comes at the end of Jesus' ministry. He trains you like a child training paideia. I told you over and over, cheer up, saints, going to get worse. The more mature the saint, the greater the test, because how could you test your faith without a greater test? Not wanting to do it is recognized by Jesus. He said concerning the disciples, the spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. But if you turn from self to him, blessed is the man whose strength is in him and in whose heart. Only you and God know what's in your heart. Would you rather have the comfort zone and the test removed, or is in your heart? I want the ways of God. He knows what it takes to bring old Gene home. I think I know the way. I know he knows the way. Testings and trials come. That never changes. He never changes either. And the blessed man can face anything if your strength is in him and in your heart you want his ways. Well, you say, this tragedy is not his way. I know that. I'm the first to tell you it's a wrong translation to say all things work together for good to them that love God. That's not the way it should read. I know that the happenstance that comes upon you like a bomb is not his way. He didn't make the drunk broadside. He didn't make those evil animals possessed of Satan fly those planes that way. But God enters in. These are his ways. Whatever happens to old Gene and you and anyone else, God will enter into those who put their strength in Him and in whose heart want His way. Your purpose is out of this. Is the cry of the heart. These kind, the passage ends, these kind just describe in whose strength is in Him and in whose heart are the ways of Him. And here it enemies around this world of this great nation that still has in its foundations in God we trust. These kind go from strength to strength. Amazingly, the word changes. From oohs or ohs to kayil or hayil, that strange, difficult consonant that is like a cough coming out, sometimes pronounced ha. It's easier to pronounce it at the end of a word because it's pronounced like bach at the end of the word. Chayil. Now, that word, I could go to the lexicons over here. That word is not something intrinsically put within. That word is icing on the cake. It refers to everything from armies to hosts of the Lord to wealth to help. It is an add-on strength that is piled on in addition to whose? To that person whose state of being when attacked or confronted or in a valley of weeping is to find his strength first in the Lord Himself and drink it in the way the New Testament world exercises the appropriation of the promises of God. With the heart man believeth, and with the mouth the proclamation is made. I believe, I say amen. Come into me. I embrace your ways, and God and I together are going through this valley. That person, I can ludicrously be figurative, can nudge Jesus and say, let's say it in unison. Holy Spirit, get down there and start adding strength. These kind go from strength, an add-on strength in addition to ooze, from strength to strength, every one of them appear in Zion. Hallelujah. 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 Every one of them appear in Zion. So what do I say next? What do I say next? Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, amber waves of grain. I want my wife up here too. Preacher talk that way. Well, I want to tell you, you don't have to go very far in the book of Romans, first chapter, to realize that that act qualifies, is an exact profile of those that God has turned over. He's turned them over. And America is going to be stronger. Oh, beautiful. Therefore, you got there. For you, the minute your faith began to struggle upward. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of thee. That'll take you through anything. You believe it?
Yes.
I want you guys to sing it, America the Beautiful, and keep leading him as the ushers take the closing offering of the service. That's my message for the day. It includes that song. I don't sing very well, but I sure sing it from my heart. America the Beautiful. You guys sing it.